This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Sadan Andume of the American Enterprise Institute and the Wall Street Journal. His column in the Wall Street Journal is very helpful to understand new facts about the subcontinent, about India, about Mr. Modi's India, the most successful democracy on the planet, but then again, a mystery to me. So this survey takes us into how Indian citizens think of themselves in relation to other Indian citizens, especially when it comes to religion. The three great religions, Hindu, Islam, and Christianity in particular. Sadanan, a very good evening to you. Because this is new to me and not to you, are there any surprises in this survey? I smiled when I saw that 97% of the respondents believe in God. That is a number to envy. Good evening to you, Sadanan.
Very good evening to you too, John. Well, in fact, you know, this survey was quite new to virtually everybody because, believe it or not, nobody has conducted this kind of in-depth survey with face-to-face interviews with 30,000 people. So in many ways, what Pew is doing is exploring a new landscape for us. Now, one of the things that was surprising, not overly surprising, is if you go to India, you know that it's a God-drenched place, was that 97% of people believe in God. And most of the other 3%, by the way, are Buddhists. And so, you know, that's just part of their faith not to believe in God, even though they're also religious in their ways. The other thing that was very heartening was that overwhelming majorities of members of all the major faiths in India, Hindus, Muslims, and Christians, believed that religious tolerance was a core virtue, not only of their faith, but also part of being Indian. So they said that if you don't respect all religions, you can't really be Indian. That was, again, very heartening. The overwhelming majority of all faiths, again, say that they have freedom to practice religion in India. And as we know, that is not something that could be said of people across the border in China.
I'm struck by the term Southern exceptionalism in this survey, finding differences between the South and the North more illustrative than differences between the North and the North and the South and the South. What is it about the South that creates these gaps between it and the rest of India?
So, John, that's a great question. Now, in many ways, if you look at the survey, there's a great unity, right? Now, questions, things like a belief in God are overwhelming, both in the North and the South. The idea that you must respect all faiths is overwhelming, both in the South and the North. But there are some important differences, which I highlight in my column. So, for example, on some of the more controversial issues, for example, do you consider a person to be a member of your faith if they follow a dietary practice that the majority does not believe in? So in the Muslim case, this would be that if someone eats pork, do other Muslims still regard that person as a Muslim? And in the Hindu case, it's if someone eats beef, do other Hindus still regard that person as a Hindu? The North is much, much more rigid about these things, both among Muslims and among Hindus, but particularly among Hindus. The South has a much more live and let live attitude, which is that, well, you know, I'm not going to eat either beef or pork, but if you do, I'm not necessarily going to excommunicate you or claim that you no longer belong to my community. Similarly, on interfaith marriage is a no-no for most of India. It's a very conservative society in that way. So I'm not saying that in South India, everybody is breaking these taboos. But in South India, they judge the people who do have interfaith marriages a little bit more gently. They don't regard stopping interfaith marriage as a great priority, whereas in the North, they view it as a priority.
The Hindi heartland is the North. You mentioned their food taboos. Is the Hindi heartland decidedly or differently tolerant towards Islam or Christianity than the rest of the country or not? Can we generalize?
So it's a mixed bag. Now, on the one hand, you have the Hindi heartland shows much more rigidity on questions of, for example, how you judge how people who break dietary taboos. And this is true both among Muslims and Hindus. they're also much more concerned about stopping interfaith marriage. On the other hand, you find that 10% of North Indian Hindus and Sikhs identify with Sufi Islam, which is a more gentle, easygoing form of the faith. And you also find that across India, 1 in 6 Indians celebrates Christmas. But I would say, generally speaking, if you look at the survey, you find that in South India, they are less caught up with the issues that divide Hindus from Muslims and Christians, and more willing to live with those differences. That's what the survey seems to reveal.
Because of these distinctions made between the three great religions, all living together, whirling around each other in a modern society that is also dealing with poverty in the rural areas, it makes for my imagination, Sadhanand, terrific first chapters in novels. Because, of course, she would bring home a boy from the wrong religion. Of course, there would be Romeo and Juliet breaking out all across the country. Is this true? Are the taboos being challenged all the time by the young people? Can we tell?
They, in fact, are not being challenged that much. You do see in the cities, you see an uptick in inter-caste marriage. You don't see that much interfaith marriage. It's still a very rare thing. So if you step aside from a very small, highly westernized elite, and you get beyond that layer, you will find that the overwhelming majority of Indians marry within their faith. Intercaste marriage is a little bit more common than it used to be, but even there, the taboos remain quite strong. And beyond that, what this survey finds, which is quite fascinating, is that even when in terms of close friendships, most Indians seem to prefer friends not only from within their faith, but from within their caste group. So think of it this way. It's like people are living in silos, but while they're living in these silos, they say that, well, we want to respect and tolerate people who are living in other silos. But the silos are very much a part of the fabric of Indian society. That's what this survey reveals.
There are things to celebrate. I smiled when I read that people, even Christians, respect the Ganges River and that everybody believes in karma. Me too, Sadhanand. Karma has taken over the planet, especially during a pandemic. So the language between the religions is ordinary, and that the religions are used to dealing with each other all the time. Do they seek common purpose when people are doing business with each other or going to school together?
I mean, it's fascinating because on the one hand, majorities of Hindus, Muslims, and Christians, when you ask them about the other faith, they say that they feel very different from members of the other faith. But then if you actually probe their beliefs, you have, 1 in 6 Hindus is celebrating Christmas. You have 30% of Christians who believe in the purifying power of the Ganges. You have a staggering 3/4 of Indian Muslims who believe in karma. So in some ways, as you would imagine, with all of these people living close together for many centuries, you can see how their beliefs have sort of permeated each other. And in day-to-day life, you're absolutely right. People get along. They do business with each other. They go to school with each other and so on. But they do draw certain lines, and those lines are essentially when it comes to marriage.
Does this give us any indication of the politics of India right now under the BJP?
Well, in many ways, it does illustrate both the strength of the BJP and the limits of that strength. The BJP, as John, is particularly strong in the populous in the heartland, which also displays some of the more conservative religious attitudes, especially among the Hindu population that votes overwhelmingly for the BJP. The BJP is weak in the south, and it's not surprising when you think of it, because if you have BJP politicians who basically go out there and say that if you elect us, we're going to ban interfaith marriage or make it very difficult. We're going to introduce very harsh punishments for anyone who eats beef, whether they're Muslim or Christian or anything. Those kinds of arguments seem to sell really well in North India, where they matter to people, but those arguments fall flat in South India. And the BJP's additional problem in South India is that it is associated with the language Hindi, Whereas most people in the South, they don't speak Hindi. They speak their own languages. And so it makes the BJP seem somewhat more alien outside of one large southern state in Karnataka. In the other four southern states, the BJP is not much of a presence. And if you look at the survey, you can figure out why.
Sadanand Dume of the American Enterprise Institute and the Wall Street Journal. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.